Good morning, Nachum. Good Erev Yontev, everybody. Wow, on this last day of the year, as we are about to welcome Amir Tzashem, 5,785, I would just first like to begin by giving a quick machshava regarding Rosh Hashanah. Then I'll try to review some of the laws for Rosh Hashanah. To begin with, there's something special and unique about the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, that not only does the Torah not use the term Rosh Hashanah, but the Torah does not describe the character of the day. In fact, before Ma'ariv tonight, we are going to recite the Pasuk from Tehillim 81, Tiku Bachule Shofar. We are instructed to blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh, which happens to be tomorrow, first day of Rosh Hashanah. Bakesa liyom chagenu. Literally, kesa means covered. And what's covered? The character of our holiday. We know that Rosh Hashanah is a day of din, a day of judgment, which is repeated again and again in our tefillos. Where did this come from, that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment? And our rabbis tell us the following. The world was created on the 25th day of Elul, this past Shabbos. On Rosh Hashanah, 6 days later, man was created. On the day that he was created, he was placed in Gan Eden, and he was given instructions. You are to eat from all the trees in the garden. Don't eat from the Eitz Hada'as. On the day that you eat, you will die. Adam eats from the tree, and he does not die on that day. He dies 930 years later. How was Adam judged? He was judged favorably. So our rabbis teach us that as Adam Arishon, the first man, was judged favorably on this day of Rosh Hashanah, this day has become a day of judgment throughout the years, and we pray that we too will be judged favorably on this day. The day has a character of not just judgment, but judgment favorably. I want to remind everybody that because we are dealing with Yom Tov, Thursday, Friday, going into Shabbos, we need to make an Erev Tavshilin. We take a cooked food, a baked food, we designate it, we put it, well, first in front of us, and we recite a blessing, a mitzvah's eruv. We recite the recitation that with this we are enabled to cook and prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, the second day Yom Tov Friday for Shabbos. And the minhag is that the eruv tavshilin, which is not to be eaten until Shabbos, the minhag is to eat the eruv tavshilin for Shalosh Seudos. Be careful tonight. Starting tonight in the Shemoneh Esrei, we have 4 insertions into the Shemoneh Esrei, starting with Zachreinu L'Chaim. The halacha is, if you did not say any of these insertions over the till after Yom Kippur, one does not have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. However, the bracha of Hokel HaKadosh is the third blessing, is changed to HaMelech HaKadosh. This is crucial, and if a person does not change the text of the bracha, they have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Very important point. Daven slowly, daven carefully from the Machzor, and please don't hesitate to look into the translation so we have a better understanding as to what we are saying. Interestingly, tonight when we wish one another a good Yom Tov, we do so and we wish them la'alter, that we should be inscribed. You tell your friends and neighbors that they should be inscribed la'alter l'chaim tovim, literally immediately, because the righteous are judged immediately, we are taught, on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, while we look upon ourselves as being Beinunim, people who are not yet righteous and certainly not wicked, but our neighbor, we wish to that they be judged in a positive way, la'alter, immediately. Okay, coming home, we follow the usual procedure for Yom Tov. We come home, we make Kiddush with Shechianu, we wash our hands, we may Hamotzi, and then we break the rules. What does that mean? Normally, the Hamotzi covers all the food that a person is going to eat until dessert. Tonight, after the Hamotzi, after we've swallowed some of the challah bread, we then take an apple and we recite a bracha over the apple, borei pri or eitz, and then afterwards we take that apple, we dip it in honey, and we daven, we pray that Hashem should renew for us shana tova, a good year, umasuka, and a sweet year. Our judgment should be sweet. So, for example, if it was decreed this year that the Jewish people should go into exile, our judgment thereof should be fulfilled by our going into the sukkah, a form of exile for a week. Thus, again, looking to sweeten the judgment. What comes next is found in the Machzorim, the concept of Simna Milsa, whereby we eat various fruits, vegetables, which have names which remind us of either increase or destroying, increase of our, please God, merits, increase of our good deeds, and destroying of our enemies. Let's move on to the day of Rosh Hashanah, Thursday. So in our Shachris, there are various piyutim that are added to the repetition of the Shmona Esrei. And we conclude Shachris with Avinu Malkeinu. Just a word about this very important prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, the Talmud tells us that there was a drought, and Rabbi Eliezer was asked to lead the service. He davened the 24 blessings that were said specifically at an occasion such as, lo aleinu, a drought, and his prayers were not answered. Rabbi Akiva then went, recited five of the Avinu Malkeinu, and it began to rain. Thereby, people actually thought, and perhaps even said, it looks like Rabbi Akiva, the student, is better than the teacher, Rabbi Eliezer, because when he prayed, it rained. And the heavenly voice came out and said, no, not that it's better, but he has a different lifestyle. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer was a student of Shammai, and therefore was very exact in terms of his behavior, meaning that if somebody wronged him, he would wait for that person to ask for forgiveness, which is what the letter of the law calls for. Rabbi Akiva was Mavir Amidosov. Rabbi Akiva was one who was always willing to go out of his way to forgive before the other person even asked for it. A very important concept that Hashem follows us. Rabbi Akiva went out of his way in his lifestyle. Hashem went out of his way, so to speak, and brought rain. We too should go out of our way and act lifnim mishuras hadin, and please God, Hashem will act that way towards us. The Kriyas HaTorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Vashem Pokad HaSorah, that Hashem remembered Sorah. According to our rabbis, the Imohos, the matriarchs who were barren, couldn't have children, were answered on Rosh Hashanah. Take Sorah's name out in your mind, put your name in, and realize that each and every individual is judged on Rosh Hashanah. This is the Kriyas HaTorah for the first day, and Sorah had a baby. And remember, why did Hashem orchestrate that Sorah has a baby when she is 90 and Abram is 100 when he fathers Yitzchak? Why couldn't it be a much more usual, natural form of birth, 35, 25, for example? And the answer is that from the get-go, from the very beginning of our Jewish people, we came about in a miraculous fashion. And that is the way we continue to exist, in a miraculous fashion. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the reading of the Torah, is that of the Akedah. We read of Avraham Avinu's incredible Mesiras Nefesh, literally ready, willing, and able to give his most precious possession for Hashem. We have the mitzvah after Shacharis, the unique mitzvah for Rosh Hashanah, which is the mitzvah of Shofar. I will try succinctly to explain how we got to so many sounds, when from the Torah, all we have to hear is 9 sounds. We have to hear from the Torah 3 trua. The word trua is found in conjunction with the 7th month, which we begin tomorrow, 3 times. We know from chapter 10 in the book of Bamidbar, by the chatzotzros, the silver horns, that every trua is preceded and followed by a tekiya. Now, what's the character of these notes? A trua is a sad note, because the Torah says that should there be, God forbid, a war in your land, you are to blow a trua. So trua is a sad note. On your happy days, the Torah says you're to blow a tekiya. So we know that a tekiya is a happy note, and the trua is a sad note. So in reality, what we're blowing on Rosh Hashanah is happy, sad, happy. What does that mean, happy? Pleasant, positive. Hashem created man positive, without any blemish whatsoever. Man, unfortunately, sins, which brings about a sense of sadness about himself, but the concluding note is always a tekiya, always a happy note, that there is room for improvement, there is room for tshuva, there's room for a better life. So we have the trua bounded on either side by the tekiya, which denotes a strong sense of optimism. Now, what exactly is the trua? We know it's a sad note, but there are 3 different possibilities as to what the trua is. Either it is a sigh, what we call the shivarim, which is oi, 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 or it is a trua, a wail, oi, 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 which is what we call the trua, or it's a combination of both. And remember, we're supposed to blow 3 trua. Every truah preceded and followed. So the first thing that we blow is three of Shvarim truah. Tekiah is one, Shvarim truah is two and three. Tekiah after that is four. Four times three is 12. 12 sounds. Then we blow three truah of what we call Shvarim. Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah. Three of those, that's nine. Then we blow three truah. Maybe that's what the Torah means by truah. The three whales. Ay, 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 ay. That's nine. 12, 9, and 9 is 30. We blow 30 sounds known as tekios demiyushav, literally the tekios of sitting, in contrast to the next 30, which are blown in conjunction with the Shmona Esrei. So we have 30 sounds before the Shmona Esrei. If one blows shofar for somebody else, you blow 30 sounds. That's it. These 30 sounds that we just enumerated. From the letter of the law, one has fulfilled their obligation of shofar when they hear 30 sounds. The Talmud teaches us that the Shmona Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is unique in that every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, the Shmona Esrei consists of seven brachos. The Musaf Shmona Esrei consists of nine brachos. We add three themes, the theme of Malchios, which means literally kingship, or Hashem's absolute authority. That is the first section. Then we have a second section of Zichronos, reminding us that it is a day of judgment, because Hashem remembers everything, and as a result of remembering everything, He judges us upon our actions or inactions. And finally, the last section that is added, the last bracha that is added, is called Shofros. Many explanations, but clearly it talks about the shofar at Sinai, our past, our history, the shofar of Mashiach that's going to come. Please God, b'mehera b'yameinu, that's our destiny. So the Shofros represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over history. Now, the Talmud teaches that the shofar is blown in conjunction with these three blessings. Now, each of these blessings has a specific formula as to the way it is presented. There's an introduction to the theme of Malchios. There are then 10 verses to support the concept that God is King, 3 verses from the Torah, 3 verses from Tehillim, 3 verses from the prophets, and then there's a 10th verse from the Torah, and then the concluding blessing of that theme. This is the same for Malchios, 10 verses, the same for Zichronos, judgment, 10 verses, and the same for Shofros, Hashem controlling history, once again, 10 verses. So this Shmona Esrei on the first and second day of Rosh Hashanah is the longest Shmona Esrei of the year. According to Rashi, the recitation of these verses might very well be a biblical fulfillment of a biblical mitzvah in conjunction with the blowing of shofar. Now, interestingly, shofar is an instrument of prayer. Best proof for that is we are blowing the shofar either as Ashkenazim do in the repetition of the Shmona Esrei, or as the Sfardim do during the silent Shmona Esrei. The mitzvah of Pesach is to eat matzah. We don't eat a matzah in the Shmona Esrei. The mitzvah of lulav, which is the mitzvah of Sukkos, we don't take the esrog and lulav in the Shmona Esrei, but we do blow the shofar in conjunction with the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is prayer, and the shofar is a form of prayer. It's a prayer without words. Words have a limitation. There's a translation to the words. The shofar is a prayer without words. There are times I just can't express myself in words, so I express myself with the sound of the shofar. It's a very important point to keep in mind. And so we have 30 sounds before Musaf, 30 sounds in conjunction with the Musaf, either silent or repetition. And then at the end of the Shmona Esrei, at the end of davening, we blow with Kaddish Tiskabel another 40 sounds. And one of the reasons given by Tosfos is that we blow 40 more to give us 100 sounds on Rosh Hashanah to remember, amazing, the universal aspect of Rosh Hashanah, that the mother of the general who fought against Devorah and Sisra and the Jewish people, Barak, Sisra, the non-Jewish general who was killed in battle, who does not return home from the battle, his mother is waiting for him, and she cries for him 100 times. And we recall the universal aspect of Rosh Hashanah with the shofar, reminding us that it's not only the Jewish people that are judged on this day, but literally all nations are judged on this day. As we say in the Musaf Tefillah, in the part of Zichronos, that on this day, clearly, it is determined regarding the nations of the world what is going to be their destiny. Not only is the destiny of the Jewish people determined on this day, but regarding Al HaMedinos, Bo Yeomer, regarding all the nations and countries, it is said on this day, which is destined for the sword, which for peace, which for hunger, which for abundance. So each and every nation is judged. But let me tell you something very fascinating about this. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 16a teaches that Hashem says that we are to recite verses of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah, Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem, that we should coronate Hashem. On the one hand, we coronate Hashem. Very important. And that's why that's the basic part of our prayers on Rosh Hashanah, noting that Hashem is our King. But at the same time, we understand Ein Melech B'lo Am. A king needs a people, and we are proudly his people. And not only that, but through God's intercession, through his interaction with the Jewish people, that is the way he becomes known and magnified in the world. This is based upon the pasuk in Vayigash, that when Yaakov Avinu went down to Egypt, Hashem made a promise to him, Anochi eredimcha mitzrayimcha, when the Jew goes down into exile, God is with us. V'anochi ha'alcho gamalo, and when we are up, he is up. But, says the Beis HaLevi, a very powerful idea that not only when we are up, he is up, but when the Jewish people are up, that magnifies Hashem's presence in the world, because he shows through his interaction with the Jewish people that he would only break the laws of nature on behalf of the Jewish people. Unbelievable idea. This is the very important covenant which is forged between Hashem and the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah. And it's for this reason that we know that Am Yisrael is going to survive. The Jewish people as a people are going to be inscribed for positive in the forthcoming year. There always will be a Jewish people. Each individual has to be concerned about their personal destiny on this day. And it's for this reason that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, because the books of life and death are open on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore there is not that tone of Hallel present on the other Yomim Tovim. Finally, on Rosh Hashanah, first day in the afternoon, we have the minhag of going to a flowing body of water and reciting Tashlich. If one can go on first day Rosh Hashanah, fine. If not, just know that you have until Hoshana Rabbah to recite Tashlich. Finally, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there is an issue, because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah halachically are considered one long day. Do we recite a Shechiyanu in Kiddush on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, Thursday night? And therefore, as we know, either we have a new fruit in front of us when we recite Kiddush, so that when we say the Shechiyanu, it is going on the new fruit as well, not just the day. Or if somebody has a new garment, they wear the new garment for the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and the Shechiyanu would go on the new garment as well. I just want to conclude by taking this opportunity of wishing Nachum and his family, and indeed the entire family of JM in the AM, to say how proud we are of the Nachum Segal app, how proud we are that one can tune in and be uplifted, realizing how special and privileged it is to be part of the Jewish nation throughout the week, and to understand that there is this wonderful sense of pride in being a Jew that Nachum gives us on a regular basis. We wish him and his family Iksiv V'Chasima Tova. We wish the entire Klal Yisrael that it should truly be Tichle Shana V'Kilo Seho. May this past year and all its challenges be behind us. May the forthcoming year be one of good news, be one of Hatzlacha, Bracha, good health for all of Klal Yisrael. B'mehera B'Yameinu. Amen.